Good morning, church family. If you would stand up on your feet this morning. Welcome to church. We are so glad you're here with us. Look at the person beside you and say, you ready to praise? Ooh, that was good. I felt that. Look at the other person on the other side of you. Say, you ready to praise? Let's do it.
Got the joy of the Lord deep down inside of my soul, and I can't hide it no more. I gotta praise Him. I got the joy of the Lord deep down inside of my soul, and I can't hide it no more. I gotta praise the One who broke my chains and bought my freedom. What else can I say but thank you, Jesus? 'Cause you're just that good, just that good. And you're just that kind. I'm so grateful that you saved my life like you said you would. So with my hands up high, heart abandoned, and a faith on fire, singing and dancing, 'cause you saved my life like you said you would. 'Cause you're just, 'cause you're just that good. My heart, I sing with all that I've got. Tell the world who you are. I'm gonna praise the One who broke my chains and bought my freedom. What else can I say? But thank you, Jesus. 'Cause you're just that good, just that faithful, and you're just that kind. I'm so grateful that you saved my life like you said. Almighty God, for every promise you kept in the valley, for every burden you've lifted with ease, we have gathered with great expectation, Lord, we believe. You never cease to amaze us, all of the praises Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory, take all the credit for what you're about to do. 'Cause every good thing comes from you. For every season that showed us the sorrow, every trial that taught us to trust, we are standing right here in your purpose, as you stand with us. Oh, you never cease to amaze us, all of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory, take all the credit for what you're about. You're about to hold. You never cease to amaze us. All of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory, take all the credit for what you're about to do. 'Cause every good thing comes from you.
Every good thing
took Friday night for Sunday's empty grave. It might be dark now, the dawn's about to break. Just wait.
Oh Lord, we surrender to you.
chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Come on, let's all sing this.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, soul,
something that is in my heart to share with us all, just to encourage us as we finish up worshiping to that song. I'm reminded of the story of Peter and John in the book of Acts chapter 3. As they're heading to the temple, they come across a lame man at the gate called Beautiful. And this man is in desperate need. He has many chains, as you could say. He's lame. He cannot provide for himself. He needs some money, some provision. But instead of giving him that, they give him something far greater. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And the man does so. He is healed. He is free. He has true freedom in the name of Jesus. And then he can go and sustain himself. So church, that applies to you and I. And that applies to the people that we are praying for and that we're believing God for and that need a miracle that we know of, is that we have the name of Jesus, the power that breaks every chain. Let's be encouraged with that this morning, church. Let's use that to our advantage. God is faithful. Let's give him a round of applause. Let's give him a hand clap of praise this morning, because we have the name of Jesus and it is powerful. Amen. Well, good morning to you, church. It's a beautiful day. It's good to be with you all in the house of God. My name is Jared Kaiser. I'm our kids pastor. It's exciting to be out here with you. And I just want to let you know that, hey, if you have the heart and the willingness to want to serve, we would love to have you actually as a part of our kids' church. It is not scary. It does not require any special abilities, just a heart to serve that loves Jesus and that loves kids. We'll take everyone and just provide some training, but you know what? It just takes a heart. So if you want to, you can come see me. We'd love to have you. It'll be an amazing time. There's lots of rewards and treasures in heaven for doing this. Amen. All right. Well, if you're here for the very first time, we're glad to have you. We just want to welcome you as a first-time guest. There's a QR code on the pew in front of you. There's one on the screen behind me. If you could scan that and just take a few moments to fill out just a little bit of information. We just love to connect with you and just say thank you for being here. So again, welcome, and we're glad that you are with us this morning. Amen. Right now, our prayer team, church, is passing out prayer cards and praise cards, and we believe in the power of prayer. And if you have a need, if you have a request, if you would like us to join our faith with you, please raise your hand, take one of these cards and fill it out, and you can turn that back into the offering bucket, and then we will join our faith with you. You will be multiplied in faith. We will pray over them. We will seek God on your behalf and believe God for miracles and just breakthrough for you. And if you have a praise report, we love to hear the wins. We love to hear the victories. We love to shout and celebrate with you. So take a praise card and write down an answered prayer. Write down a victory, and we love to celebrate that with you. Amen. All right, church. Well, now it is time to give. It's time to take up our tithe and offering. The three ways to give are on the screen behind me. There are ushers handing out offering envelopes. They're also in the pew in front of you. So if you got something to give, get it out, get it ready to give. And I have a verse that we've been going over all month long, and I think it's an important verse and a powerful verse. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we just want to focus, church, on giving with the right motive. That we give because we love God. We give because we want to obey His word. We give out of worship to Him and respect for Him. And that we believe that He is our Heavenly Father and our provider. And let us have our hearts set on things above. Our treasure is in heaven, not on earthly things. So if we keep our hearts focused in the right place, we'll be able to believe God and trust God and give to Him as He asks of us. And we'll see God make provision in our lives in every area. Amen? All right, church, let's go ahead and let's pray over our tithes and over our offering this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for this day. Thank you that your presence is here. We thank you, God, that we have an opportunity to give with you, to you, and just join our faith with you, and that we believe that you will make provision in our lives. Let our treasures, God, be stored in heaven. Let our hearts be fixed on you, God, and just trust you to make provision in every area of our life, God, to meet every need, God, and to bring breakthrough, God, where it is needed. God, and we just trust you. We thank you for your faithfulness. God, we ask you to bless this offering. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Church, stand to your feet and bring your tithe and offering to the Lord.
Church, my name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you have joined us today. Caleb, what do we have coming up?
Have you decided to follow Jesus but don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is water baptism. Baptism is one of the ways that we participate in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's through baptism that you show that the old life is gone and you're living new in Christ. So to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We can't wait to take this next step with you.
So real quick, I wanted to talk to you about something we offer at the church here, and it's called the Blessing Board. If you've been out to the main lobby, you've seen it. And it simply is cards on a board of things that if you have a need, you can post there, or things that you have extra at your house that you want to get rid of and bless someone else with, you can put that there as well. There have been multiple people who have received blessings and needs have been met because of the community we have here at this church. So if you have something that you want to donate, head on out to the Welcome Center and they will get you hooked up with the card to put on the blessing board.
Hey church family, I get to bring to you today our volunteer highlight. And I'd love to highlight Rachel Mitchell. Now Rachel is a teacher and a team lead for our best friends class, which is our two-year-olds. And she does it with such grace and joy. It's a tough job, but she is so faithful and she pours into our kids and she serves them so well. So I want to thank her for all her hard work and dedication to our Kids Church Dream Team. So Rachel, great job.
Hey church family, I want to explain to you about a special service and what's coming up for you. It's on September 20th and it's called Come Back to Church Sunday. What does that mean? Simple, remember those people that you prayed for in August for 7 days of prayer that you wrote their names down on that card? I'm asking that you reach out to one, two, maybe all of those people and invite them to church where they're going to hear a message so simple about the gospel of Jesus Christ that even a child could understand. And they're going to get the opportunity to receive Jesus as their personal Savior and live the life of freedom that you have. So if you would, invite somebody to come back to church Sunday. I'm excited.
Here at Only Believe, we put out invite cards on the pews and out in the lobby, and they serve as a really easy way to invite someone who you may or may not know to come to church. So be praying about who God will lead you to invite to our next service.
And if you have questions about groups, events, or ways to get connected here at Only Believe, you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all of your questions answered. Now, let's lean in and prepare our hearts for the service today.
Morning, Only Believe Church. It's good to be alive and in the house of God today. Amen? I said earlier to a gentleman here, I said, we could be dead and be in the house of the Lord, and you don't want to come to the place where you're in the casket at the front. People still come to celebrate, but not in the way we want to celebrate today. Amen? Church, you are a church that knows and believes in your identity. You are a church who knows who you are, whose you are, and what you are to do because of Christ. Woo! There we go. Stand to your feet. I want you to look your neighbor right in the eye, and yes, it's going to be uncomfortable, and say, I am in Christ. Woo! Now you can sit down. Now you can sit down. For some of you, that was the first time you've ever said out of your mouth who you are in God. And I would remind you every day, pull that mirror close and look right at it and speak to yourself and tell yourself who you are in Christ. Because every day the devil is looking at you in the eye and telling you who you are not. I would remind him of who I am. Amen. Amen. All right. My name is Pastor Nicole. If you're a visitor here today, and I'm one of the senior pastors here alongside my husband. And before we get started in the word today, we are definitely going to invite the Holy Spirit in. Amen. Amen. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we just ask you, God, to come into this place, Father, for you said, if there were two or more gathered, you are in our midst. Now, Father, we brought you with us, and we know you're in this house, but Holy Spirit, we're giving you full reign. God, as this word would go forth, Holy Spirit, let it be a hammer to the fallow ground in our hearts that have become hard. Let it break up those places that we think we already know and understand about. Reveal yourself to us in a greater way, God, that we could do exactly what your word would call us to do. Father, that we would not be hearers, but we would be doers of it as well. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, so today we are continuing our identity series, and I want you to know that all of the things that we do in our life, our actions, our motives, our words, as Christians, are birthed out of Christ. They are in Christ. I don't have to hide from Christ. In fact, I'm hidden in him. Meaning that everything in my life that looks unfixed, that looks broken, that looks ungenuine, that looks like it's prideful, is literally inside of Christ, and he's on the outside working on our behalf in spite of who you and I are. Thank you, Jesus. Can someone say thank you, Jesus? Some weeks are easier than others, but this week has been a challenge to remember that I am in Christ. And that though this body and though this mind and though this mouth wants to do its own thing, I am in Christ. Therefore, I am governed by him. My mouth is governed. My actions are governed. But the devil has come to remind me of who I'm not. Not once, not twice, not three times a day. It may be multiple times a day. The enemy has come actively pursuing the church. And I'm here to remind the church that he is trying to distort the very identity that you were given by God. It's not only enough that you know in whom your identity comes from, but you have to know how, when he comes with the distortion of who he says you are, you must know how to fight when he comes. I'm going to be honest with you. I wrestled with the Lord because I thought, God, I've been over this before. I feel like I keep saying this over and over. But he told me to go back to the simplicity of the word today when we talk. The devil is a liar. The Bible says that in some of your versions, it says he was a murderer from the beginning. Some of them say he's a liar from the beginning. Here's the point. If you're a liar, you are a murderer. The murderer is coming against the identity of Christ in your life. He wants to murder the God you and resurrect the old you. And he wants to tell you that the old resurrected man is the new man. And that you get to do this life the way you want, in your way, in your truth, in your reality. And as long as the people around you are okay with that, you should be okay with it too. That's not what the word of God says to you and I. He tries to tempt us, to deceive us, to get us to doubt on a daily basis. Daily, he tries to get in your head and change the way that you think about yourself or the way you think about certain things in your life. He tries to get you to look at life through your failure, through your successes, what the world calls success, not what he calls success. If you have money, that's all you need. Because if you, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it was really hard for the rich man to get to heaven. In fact, harder than some of the other people. Why? Because he had put his trust in a green source that isn't from heaven. It's from man. So if the source of where you get your identity is then taken away, what do you have left? Because if our identity is not founded in Christ, not our experiences, not our failures, not our successes, we will not make it when the testing comes. And trust me, the testing's coming. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 18th verse today. I'll let you know that based on my message today, I wore an outfit that was comparable to what I needed. And I needed tennis shoes on today because it's a part of my warring outfit. So you know, I'm just letting you know. Oh, I'm reading this one from the screen today because I'm going back to my KJV roots because this is where I learned it from. It said, but we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this is why some of you know that I read out of the NLT, and this is why. But in order to find this scripture, I had to go to my KJV roots to read it. So some of you see it as an open-faced glass. In the Bible that I read, it says that it's in an unveiled face. And what this means is that you and I no longer live under a veil that cannot see what God wants us to see because of our imperfections. Because when we gave our life to Christ, we became in Christ. So when God looks at me and I approach his throne, he sees Christ. He doesn't see who I've been. He doesn't see the bad thing I did 3 seconds before I repented and came in to his throne room. He sees Nicole as a believer in Christ. And when I look in this glass, when I look unveiled, I can see the picture and the image of who God is. And then I know that that's what I'm to reflect. Pick up a mirror, put it in front of your face. If you spend time with God on a regular basis, you cannot help but begin to be changed from glory to glory and to begin to look like him. Don't spend time with Jesus. Don't spend time looking in the mirror. You show up with these big old white scraggly, these things that grow out of your eyebrows that you've never seen before. And they go like this. And they're spirally. And then if you don't look at yourself in the mirror, you've got a hair over here that's growing out of the inside of a mole. Or maybe you got some food on there from last night. You don't know what you look like until you put your face and behold it in the mirror. If you never hold the word up, who God is, the picture of Christ, and put it before you, you will never know you have something hanging out of your nose. If there were children in this room, everyone would be laughing and rolling on the ground for hours. Do you understand what I'm saying? So is it possible, church, that you and I don't know who we are because we're not beholding our unveiled faces before the Lord and looking at who he is? Because see, when he looks at you and you look back at him, you look in the mirror and you see the struggle that he's revealing to you. He says, honey, you have something right here. Have you ever been at dinner and your spouse looks at you and you're like with really people and they go, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's looking at you going, trying to get you to understand you've got a hanger. Get it off your nose. When you have a nose like mine, you have to be aware of hangers. I got this nose by a generational curse. You know what? Just embrace who you are and love how God made you, because he made you with all of your imperfections and he knew you and created you in your mother's womb. Just accept it. Love it. Fall in love with who you are because God is in love with you. Amen. The older I get, I can't believe the struggle when I look at these young ones. Love who you are. Love your shape. Love your size. Love your hair color. Love if it's curly or if it's straight. Everyone wants what they can't have. Don't waste the rest of your life wasting those thoughts. Amen? You have to look in the mirror to know what it is. And here's the situation. You can be as glorious as you want to be in Christ. You can walk around with your eyebrows all wiry and stringing and the hairs coming out from your ears and the chin hair growing out of the mole. Or you can do something about it. You can leave your eyebrows and you can fix the rest of your face. But if you look in the glass and then you walk away and you do nothing, you get nothing. Except people going, why is that hair sticking out of their mole? Gosh, that thing's 13 inches long. For you know, you're dragging the mole around like this because it's getting so heavy. Why? Because you won't look in the mirror. You won't look at what God is trying to get to you and saying, I need you to pluck that hair that doesn't belong in that spot. It's old. It's got a mind of its own. And it wants to make you not look like me. I know each and every one of us have a hair in a mole. This is not the line of my message at all, but it is so plain good. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because I couldn't have thought this one up. You understand what I'm saying? When you look at someone and you see them with this obvious problem, and you want to tell them because you want to help them, but you're not sure if you tell them if it's going to help them, but it's going to embarrass them. That's not God. When he looks at you, he's not ashamed of what you look like. He embraces where you are and he says, honey, I need you to deal with this problem. And the longer you look in that mirror, the more things you're going to see over and over. And you're going to know things that need daily maintenance. Come on. Yeah, I heard Mary laugh about that. Because the older you get, you need more daily maintenance. Listen, is it possible that the church has wanted to be comfortable instead of accepting that we have the Holy Spirit as the comforter? Have we just joined Christianity because it's easier to do life with Christians? Have we done it because we think we're going to be blessed and that we're going to do it? Or have we truly joined a cause to pick up our cross and follow him every day? Because if we've joined Christ, then we've given over to the fact that every day we must behold the book. Behold the glory of God that we might be changed into his image. Every day, church. It's not about your comfort. I'm gonna be honest with you. Have you ever met someone that keeps going through it over and over and over and over and you think, my gosh, how much more can these people take? Here's what I'm going to tell you. Your life is a war. And if you're comfortable, then I question, are you pushing the God envelope enough? Because if you're living a life where everything is just perfect, all of your bills are paid, there's no sickness in your body, I'm loving that you don't have that. But I'm telling you what, there are people with a war going on in their lives. And you want to know why? Because the devil is running rampant in the church. He's running rampant against those who are doing the things of God. And if your life is comfortable, do you even have need of the comforter? I'm just being honest with you. He said, I'm sending you a comforter to be with you. Why? Because you're going to need comfort. Because life is uncomfortable. Sicknesses come. Financial struggles arrive. And if you got more than enough, I dare you to give it all away and see if the struggle's still there. Because now you'll be living in faith again with what you once needed to continue in the way of finances before. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? I heard a story of a guy the other day that came home to his wife and said, honey, we're going to empty our entire savings account and all of our money. And she went, what? And I heard the story and I challenged my heart. I'm like, wow, God, if you called on me, could I? Would I? Would I be so uncomfortable that I would say no? Or would I be, I don't mind. The Holy Spirit will get us through it. He gave us this money first time. He'll give it to us again. Would I? Or would I withhold what God had given me to get through me? That wasn't my message either. Let's go to Matthew, the third chapter. I got to get moving. All right, Matthew, the third chapter. We're going to talk about Jesus and how he was challenged in his identity. Some of you have heard this before, but if not, we're going to start in chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, and I am well pleased. That's how I hear it in my head. I don't know if that's how you hear it, but that's how I heard it. What is this? This is God himself putting Jesus's identity out there for everyone to hear. Your identity is not a secret. Your identity, when you become in Christ, is now out there for everyone to see and hear. And let me tell you, including the devil. How do you know that, Pastor Nicole? When the Bible, the devil spoke out and said, I know him and I know him, but who are you? Telling me that we have a knowledge that the enemy knows who we are and the faith that we carry with us when we fight. So Jesus was given an identity of a son of God. You and I, when we come into the kingdom, are given what identity? You are a son or a daughter of God. Is this right? Yeah. Okay, let's go to Matthew 4, the first verse. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. By the way, it wasn't during his fast. It said after fasting. He was hungry. Well, of course he was. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. By the way, this is a scripture that you can find in Deuteronomy. In the Old Testament, Jesus was stating the scripture from old. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, testing his identity yet again, he said, throw yourself down. Jesus in return says, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written. So the devil is aware of what you're doing. When you speak the word, the devil's coming back at you with the word, and he speaks the word to you, but he just twists it enough that it's got a little bit of truth and a whole lot of lie to get you to swallow it. But Jesus, note what he says to him. He says, Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And this I will give you, he said, if you will just bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. Some of your Bibles may say that it left him for the opportune time. Why? Because in Luke, it tells us that the devil left for a moment, but then he comes back to Jesus, actually, as he's on the cross, to begin to mock and challenge his identity once again. Ephesians 6:12 says that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against principalities and authorities and people of the air, of the demonic world, of the supernatural realm. So you and I, if you think you are going to attack the devil in the area of your identity in a physical war, you are not. Jesus was in a verbal and mental assault with the devil. Why do I say that? Because I don't know if he spoke out loud, or I don't know if this all happened in his mind. What I know is Jesus did not get up and go to a pinnacle with Jesus. He was in the garden when this happened. It was a temptation. Just like you and I are tempted. Where are we tempted? In our mind. Jesus was tempted just like you and I were. And every single time he was reminding the devil, you cannot take away that I am the Son of God. I will not go against his word. Remember, Pastor Randy taught the first week about the first Adam and the second Adam. Adam and Eve failed this test. They did not hang on to their godly identity. They allowed the devil to lie to them. Therefore, they brought sin into the world. Jesus came and took the sin from you and I out of it. Why? Because he was the perfect law. He did not sin. He was perfect in every way. So when the enemy come to Jesus, he resisted him. How did he resist? It is written. How did Jesus know what was written? Behold yourself. Behold yourself. Look at what the word says, and this is what you will be. But if you do not look, you will never become. I know, that's a hard one, isn't it? Jesus was in a verbal assault with the devil. And let me remind you, my mom and dad always taught me that if you give the enemy an inch, he'll take a mile. If you don't control the thoughts that are happening in your head, when they happen, the devil takes more. See, you have in here, your mind, you have the ability to take in thoughts. But there's a gap between what you believe in your heart and what is happening up here. Not everything that is a thought do I believe. Not everything. Let me tell you why. I can prove this spiritually and I can prove it not spiritually. In this life, if you tell me, if you would just speed up and go 120 mile an hour, you'll get there faster. Do I believe that? It was a thought I had the other day when I was late. But I did not believe it because I knew that if you go 120 mile an hour, the policeman is going to pull you over. And that's going to take 15 to 20 minutes, plus give you a whole assault of shame and condemnation as everyone passes you. Chances are it's on the way to church as all your Christian friends are waving and tooting. Pastor Nicole got pulled over by the highway patrolman because I was late. So I can hear a thought, but it not take root in my heart, and I believe it. You have thoughts as a believer. You have thoughts about this message right now. And I'm teaching you that your identity is in Christ. But there's a space between here and here. There's a gap. But the more you read the word, the more you put that thought in there. Have you ever heard the person that they've lied so long they actually believe it? Yeah. You've got to look at the word. You might not believe it, but you got to look at the word to believe it. And some of you are saying, but Nicole, I'm looking at it and I'm not. Then you got to keep looking until you do. You don't take the beholder away until you do. When my kids were going to college, when one of my boys was going to college, he was trying to get scholarships. Trying to get scholarships, and there's thousands of scholarships available online. Thousands. I mean, like, if I cut your finger off right here, you get a full ride to college. I told him, I said, why don't we cut the tip of your finger off? Because then you'd be handicapped. You could get a full ride. He's like, Mom, it's my finger. Here's what I'm telling you. When you go to college, before going to college, you have a full-time job looking on the internet for scholarships. Why? Because if you don't look, you ain't getting them. If you don't look in the glass and behold who God is, you will not walk in the identity of Christ. It's not going to magically appear. You're not going to sit in enough services that you believe it, because there's a separation from your mind to your heart. And some of you today, for the first time, took the thought, I am in Christ. And you spit it out of your mouth and you planted that seed in your heart so it can begin to grow. But what's going to happen is the second you walk outside of these doors, it's the devil is coming to steal that word that's trying to take root in your heart so you will believe it. And if you don't keep the thief from coming to steal your God-given identity, he will rip that root right out and you will have nothing. Come back next week and you wonder why you're empty every single time you come to church. Because you won't protect what God is giving you on Sunday. But I'm going to tell you, this is where things are going to get simple. I don't think you all know how. If you knew how, I think you would. And if you know how, then to be a hearer of the word and not a doer, for him to know to do it and does not do it, it is sin. Whew. Man, I'm preaching good. Don't worry, I got it. Guys, back to our story. Jesus is in this verbal ascent and he responds to the temptation. He doesn't negotiate with friends. He doesn't act like the thought is his friend. He doesn't say, okay, you be quiet for a little bit. I gotta pray. Quiet. He doesn't get up and take a walk so he can clear his mind. He doesn't turn on his Bluetooth speaker so all of Jerusalem can hear it and put on some worship music. It didn't say that, did it? I'm not saying that taking a walk when you have thoughts in your mind is not bad. What I'm telling you, if you're taking a walk to get rid of the thoughts of the devil, it will not work. If you're going to the gym to work out for an extra 40 minutes because it's going to put powerful endorphins in your mind and it's going to take away the thoughts of the devil, it's not. It might give you the endorphins that causes you to stand up and engage in a battle with the devil and say, get behind me, I'm sick of hearing your mouth. Maybe. But most of the time I come back from the gym and I'm exhausted and I'm hungry and I eat more than I should eat because I went to the gym. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking with it. I know where you're all going. Don't worry. I see that. Listen, the devil, not once, not twice, but three times, he comes at the enemy. You and I must stop treating the devil like he's a friend. These thoughts are not friends. They need to be ripped out and treated like enemies. We don't hang around with them. We don't take comfort when they're there. Do you know some of us are so fearful to be free because we don't know what life looks like without the thing that we've lived with our whole life? I see this with children that have been molested at an early age. They turn into adults, but everything in their life runs through the filter of molestation. But yet if you take the fear, the freedom of what that is, and they finally get free, they feel naked and incomplete. It's no different than living a life of fear. It's no different than living a life of pride and arrogance where you put on an outward appearance to everyone. And then guess what happens? Something happens and you have to have a hip replacement. And now you're limping like this because the hip replacement didn't go all right. And you didn't realize it. And now you're like this, but your entire identity was in how you looked. And you know what? Now you're walking around with a limp like this. And I know, I'm a pretty good actor, aren't I? She's looking at me. Marsha's like, well, that's pretty good, Nicole. What happens is you see this because why? Your identity was put into a falseness of who you were. And the devil knows that you care about the way you look. And so now you've got this limp and you're trying to make do, but you know what? Your identity is not in that issue. The identity is in God. And what we need to do is be speaking to the enemy and saying, I'm no longer listening to the lies that you're telling me, but I'm going to tell you the lies about you. Oh, he can chap all day to you and act like he's a friend, all day. And you hang on to that closeness like he's a brother. He is not your brother. This is life and death. And some of us have got to get uncomfortable enough to be cut free from our past long enough that we find what new life looks without that molestation. That we look at what life looks like without that adultery that was in your life. That we look at life without that pride, without that arrogance, without that self-reliance that's inside of you that you can't break free from. And we got to start walking long enough that we start feeling okay in the new identity that's truly free of all that weight, that's truly free and available to look at God unveiled and approach him with confidence. But do we? I don't think that's my granddaughter, but someone's granddaughter. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is alive and active. And it's strong like a two-edged sword. In Ephesians 6:15 tells us to put on the whole armor of God, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is your only offensive weapon in the spiritual armor of God. If you do not use it, the devil will not leave. James tells us, resist the devil and he will flee. Pastor Nicole, I've resisted 3 times. I've said no 3 times. I've said no 30 times before. I've said no 60 times before. This is how you pray always without ceasing. God, I thank you that I am free of thoughts that are not mine. I don't receive that thought. That's not me. That's the devil. He is evil and he's a liar and a murderer and he's coming after my identity. God, I believe everything that your word says about me and I just begin speaking the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I thank you that no weapon formed against me, even when I'm weak, will prosper. I thank you, Lord, that when I am weak, you are made strong, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I thank you, Lord, that the only thing I do is love people. I'm kind to people. I'm gentle to people, that the Spirit moves through me to others. Why? You think I want to walk around acting like a crazy lady, talking the word of God? I'm not crazy. I'm crazy in love with God and the identity that he has given me. And I don't care what the world may think. What I care is what God says about me and possessing every ounce of it. I'm not staying in that wilderness. I'm not searching for 40 years to find out who I am and what God said I am when he's already given me the cross and showed me. I'm going to step over that river and walk into the promised land and everything that he has for me. I don't care that there's other giants there. What I care is that I now have the comforter, that I don't live in comfort, and I might live the rest of my life in war, but I'm happy to war it for God. Some of you got to get back up out of your seats and realize that you are called to duty, that you are called to an active lifestyle of war. And then if you think this is going to be easy, I'm sorry. You've joined the wrong following, because it's not. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Let's read that. We have to read it. And I'm running out of time. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish. Someone say demolish. Strongholds. We demolish the arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Where's the knowledge of God? The Bible. This is the word of God. This is where we are told what the knowledge of God is. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Jesus took the lie of the devil. He made it captive. He pulled it down and replaced it with the truth in the word of God. Some of us don't allow what the devil tells us to run around on repeat in our mind over and over and over. And all he does is say it a different way, but he's saying the exact same thing. You're not who God says you are, and I'm going to tell you why. and he keeps it on repeat. And this keeping it on repeat keeps you beat down. And before you know it, what he tells you long enough has now taken root in your heart. And you believe it. You believe you're not worth anything. You believe you can't be forgiven. You believe that you're never going to be changed and that this is going to take too long. I'm talking to somebody right now today. My dad used to say that a thought left alone today will be a stronghold tomorrow. A thought left alone today will be a stronghold for tomorrow. I'm going to give you a demonstration before we get started, before we go any further today. And I'm doing this because I want you to see what life looks like when you take down a captive thought. And I'm doing this to give you a visual of what in the spirit you are going to do if you want to attack the lies that are in your mind. Interns, let's all give them a hand clap. Thank you. Nope, don't worry. Stand right there on that box. Just for now. These interns have worked all summer at our church. I'm telling you, they are special. Aqua Grande wouldn't have gone off without it. They are amazing. By the way, each one of these kids have prepared a lesson to teach for their overseers that we listen to every single year. And this year's got a little shafted for us. But last year, I watched a couple of them give their messages, and I'm so proud of them. Please say yes to the next generation, because I'm telling you, these kids are where it is, and you have to see that. Please. Okay, so I've asked them to join with me today, and they are going to be the thoughts of the enemy, okay? And I'm going to ask at first how most of us have acted in our past, and then I'm going to show you how God wants us to respond to them, okay? Hi, guys. How are you today? Hi. Oh, my gosh. Oh, you think I'm what?
You will never be free.
Well, won't? Well, what? No, 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 no. Wait, guys. Stop. Stop. I've prayed today. I don't under. Stop it. Oh my gosh. Guys, stop. I just wish they would stop. Pastor Nicole, make the word stop. Oh my gosh, stop.
You're not going to happen.
You're not going to change.
Sit down. You. Right here.
You're still guilty. Mm. You're always going to be like this.
No, I'm not. I don't have my yellow tape. Hallelujah, I needed to be in prayer. Ooh. Sit your rear end down right there. I am taking every thought captive. I'm not listening no more to your lying thoughts. You know what? I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. By his blood, I have been set free. Therefore, there is now no condemnation in those who are called. I am called according to God's purpose, and you're not taking me off of it anymore. Do you understand? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes, you lying devils. That is what we're to do.
That's right.
Now, Randy, give me that basket. I've got myself in a sweat. I will apologize in full. This is all I have. If I would have had this idea a little earlier, I would have got them for all of you. Back in the gym, see? This is scripture cards. These are like flashcards when you were a kid. And I know this sounds crazy, but some of us don't know what the Word of God says about you. And if you don't know, you have to go learn in order to just do what I did with those thoughts. Because he's telling you every single day you're not enough. But the Bible's telling you that you're more than conquerors. He's telling you that you're never going to amount to anything. But God said, for those who are called according to my purpose, I'll turn everything around for their good. Doesn't matter if you made a bad choice. Doesn't matter what you did. God's waiting to turn it around. If you never accept what God's word is, and you never say, devil, it is written, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, then you're just not accepting your full identity. Your eyebrows may be plucked, but you still got a big old chin here hanging out. That's for all the ladies out there. You know it's gross. I've got one. I got to pull it out all the time. Stand to your feet if you would this morning. Thank you, interns. You're amazing. Can you get out? Oh, you were trying, Delaney, to keep him locked up, weren't you? By the way, those parents of these interns, you can keep the tape if you'd like. I couldn't use my own kids because it might have been too aggressive. If you would, every eye closed and your head bowed. I ask the people that are standing in our congregation today, how long will you wrestle with the enemy? How long will you allow him to beat you up, tear you down, take your life? The world has a really good way of making things look good and promising you comfort and promising you everything's going to be okay. Yet it's still not enough, and you know it. That's why you're here today. The Bible says that God has put eternity in the heart of every person. That void that you feel in your life that you try to fill with alcohol, with parties, I don't know, with work. It's never going to be filled until it's filled with Christ. Because it's in Him that you are made complete. No other way outside of that. And you keep searching because you don't have that plug. You don't have that Jesus inside of there to fill that yearning. And so you're constantly searching for this identity that you're never going to find. It's very simple. If you will admit that you are a sinner, just admit that I'm not doing this good. Life's not good. Life's wrong right now. Believe in Christ. Believe in Jesus, that He died and that He was resurrected for you, just for you. I have no doubt in my mind that what Christ did was just for me. And I'm so grateful. And then confess with your mouth. We'll do that when we pray. You'll confess that He's Lord of your life. Then when you do, that old part of you is done away with. And supernaturally, there is a new creation with a new identity. And all you have to do is continue to believe in Christ and keep your face in the Bible, and you'll know exactly what you're to look like. It's that simple. And there's this transforming work that happens. I didn't just start confessing I was a better person. The Holy Spirit did the work. All He needed was my yes and my surrender. It's really not hard, but it does take an act of obedience. So I'm giving everyone under the sound of my voice today the choice to know God, to find freedom from your old self, to discover His purpose for your life, and then get in a body of believers and make a difference with that. Or you can walk out the doors just like you came today. But know this, if you say no, not today, you can't say that's not a choice. It is a choice. Because today could be our last day. And I want to make sure that the day that I choose, I've chose right. Is there anyone, there's a prayer team out and about, and they're behind you and around you. If there's anyone here that would like to know Christ as their personal Savior, today, you'd like to admit, believe, and confess in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you'd like to do that, then I'm just asking, would you like to raise your hand for me so that we can pray a prayer with you today? Is there anyone that would say yes to Jesus today? Lord, I want You to be my new identity. I want to live in Christ. No more living outside of me, but in You, God. Is there anyone? Slip it up high so I can see it in the lights. Anyone? Okay. I didn't see anyone, but if the prayer team did, I know you'll get them and collect them. Pastor Randy and I would love to meet you after service. Now, what I want to do is, if you need prayer today, I want to call the prayer team forward, by the way. The prayer team is a mighty asset around here. And with this prayer team, anything you have need of, you can come up after service and pray. This doesn't matter if you have cancer in your body, that's been healed. Doesn't matter if you have a tumor, those have been gone. Doesn't matter if you have a growth, those have been dismissed. Doesn't matter if someone had a growth on their breast, it's gone. It's no longer there. Whatever you have need of, it can be prayed for by them. We're going to be down here with them. But if you have a breach in your identity that you cannot get past, today's your day. And when I tell you this, you already know the lie. You don't need time to figure it out. You don't need time to write it down. You don't have to fast and pray. You know where the breach is. If that's you, I want you to come down to this altar tonight. Today, I'm sorry, not tonight. And we're going to pray for you. Because I'm telling you, I believe with all of my heart, mind, and soul, that if the church could fully get a grip on the identity that you have in Christ Jesus, there wouldn't be a seat in this building. There wouldn't be a person around you that could not say yes to Jesus because they would see the work of Christ in you. Now I'm telling you, the church is gonna have to get a little uncomfortable. And I love comfort, trust me. I'm a glamper, I don't camp, I glamp. I like the air conditioner, I like the fans, I like a grill, I don't even like the fire. What I'm telling you is, comfort's not what God's after. He's given you a comforter because he knows it's going to be uncomfortable. And to let loose of the lie of the devil is gonna take some work. It's gonna take some work. The prayer team can get the lie off of you. They can get the oppressiveness of the devil that weighs on your shoulders day and night, that keeps you awake at night just like this. It's like, wait, that can be removed. But if you don't replace the lie with the truth, there's nothing to combat it. And then every day you have to resist the devil like I took care of those three little devils. In the spirit, they weren't devils in the real. We're gonna open our altars up today. For those of you that have things to do, I'm just gonna ask that if you wanna fellowship and do all that stuff, then I'm gonna ask that you take it to the lobby, because there's gonna be the active ministry happening in here. The active ministry, and we're gonna minister to every single last one that has an identity breach. And that's what we're gonna do today. And in the meantime, I'm gonna pray you out. And if you have to go, go. If you don't, I would love for you to use your faith for others, because one day you might need the faith that is being released from the pews today. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. And Lord, we thank you for every face, every body in this church today, Father, that came to worship you, that came to be changed by the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, go with them as they go this week. Lord, I ask that you would put them super in tune with this found identity in Christ. And God, that you would refine us. Refine us for your glory, God. Refine us, God. Show us where things have gone wrong when we look at you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. We will see you Wednesday night, church, where we will continue our series on integrity.